Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 51 of Classic Elite. We are a podcast that covers electronic and gaming news. My name is Tony, and I'm here with my friend Scott. How you doing, Scott?
I'm awesome, man. We just took a two-week break because of episode 50, so I'm ready to go. There's a ton to talk about, and we had another great interview for everyone for this episode, which is pretty cool.
It is cool. It is good to be back. I have to admit, I'm still kind of flying high off of episode 50. You know, we put so much time and effort into that, it feels like we just kind of want to just hang off the high of episode 50.
Yeah, it came together as well as I ever hoped it would. So thank you very much for everybody who helped and contributed. All the interviews were fantastic. And then anyone that wrote in and participated with any of the contests, thank you very much, because that was way at the end. So bless you for listening to almost 3 hours of us just to try to get something free. So everybody, thank you. It was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to give a shout out to Leet Lauren, who we interviewed on episode 50. Thanks for tweeting about our show. Also to Commodore and to Pure Solar, the Pure Solar team. Thank you for posting the interview on your website. For me, like, being on the Commodore website on the front page, that's like, man, that's about enough gaming for me for the rest of my life. I could be done now.
And they're following us on Twitter. I accidentally deleted the email notification, but Commodore USA is following us on Twitter now. So we've made it, man. Episode 50 put us over the edge.
Dude, it was just a lot of fun.
It was so much fun.
All the comments and announce the winners at the end of our show today. The first thing we want to do, though, is get right into just reading a couple emails that were sent in. So,
yes.
Scott, take it away. You're reading the emails, buddy.
First one, this comes from David Dalamar from Wasted Seconds Podcast. This is an episode from back on 59 when Vogue Nasty was the guest and I was not there.
59?
No. Did I say 59? Obviously,
I think so.
Can't edit that out. We're just gonna have to find out when we go back and listen.
I can't believe you didn't ask me to be on episode 59.
Maybe you will be. And on 49, sorry, 49. Dave wrote in and he said Anonymous didn't specifically mess with Sony. They've been doing their hacktivism, or what I call terrorism. Taking down the PSN to me is no different than bombing a mall during peak hours from miles away. It only hurts the consumer and not the company itself for many years now. And for Dustin, you probably already know this, but the composite cables for the PS2 work with the PS3, so if nothing else, you could quote-unquote rent them from Walmart or something. just use them and take them back. For a refund, just saying, smiley face. That's Dalamar, who always adds to our show, always has really good insight, and wastedseconds.com is awesome. And he also helps sponsor and host Tiger Claw Radio, which is really cool. And then we also have a note. Now, I don't know if this is true, Tony. I don't know if this is fake. I hope that it's true, though. And it's from our buddy Retro Kaiser, or James Kaiser, or Sunday Night Kaiser, or Kaiser Sunday, or whatever he is right now, claims he's actually building a light gun rack, like he had wrote in about on maybe like episode like 2 or 3 or something like that. So let me ask you this. What do you think the ads are? These actually going to make a gun rack so that we can see a picture of it?
I haven't heard from him in weeks, so I think he's in the laboratory welding, building, cutting, drilling, doing whatever it takes to build a gun rack.
That's awesome. I'm optimistic, too. I don't think he's full of crap. I think he actually is going to build a gun rack, which will be awesome.
And then he's going to ship it to us.
Yeah, right, dude. We'd have to co-sign the loan for him just to ship it.
I know. It's expensive to ship.
So, anyways, thank you very much, Kaiser, for writing in. And Dalamar, thanks for your insight, man. Always appreciated and always welcomed. So, Tony, let's get into the modern portion. I want to hear what you have to say first.
Okay, well, I want to talk a little bit in the modern portion of gaming this week for our show. Just talk a little bit about a couple things happening. There seems to be a lot going on in the gaming world right now, and things are kind of ramping up a little bit. although retailers will tell you that sales, you know, aren't huge this time of year, just lots of announcements and stuff coming out with E3 coming up. And so today we see a Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 teaser trailer. It's kind of random, a lot of neon green. There's a couple rockets being fired past the Statue of Liberty. And then it shows kind of a map of, you know, a missile going into New York and then Manhattan.
Okay.
And so it's really, really, really got me yawning because I'm so over Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's just one of those, games, they just reached their point, you know? I mean, Guitar Hero is dead.
I know it's going to sell tons of copies and all that stuff, but
I don't even know why that bothers you. You're not going to buy it, so it's not even going to affect you, right?
I know. Manhattan and New York, I mean, it's like they're copying Crysis 2 because Crysis 2 is amazing.
Well, you know.
I don't know.
We should copy it. We should copy it and release a ton of games. Then we wouldn't have to do our normal jobs all day.
We are above making second-rate games for millions of dollars, Scott.
No, we're not.
You're right. We'd do it in a heartbeat.
We make like a 100th-rate podcast, and we take $1 million if someone wanted to give it to us.
This is true.
We take $10 if someone wanted to give it
to
us.
Yeah, I mean, I could use $5 anytime. So.
Yeah, so, and there is a lot going on. And I do want to ask you, did the PlayStation Network go up?
Well, that's what I was going to talk about again. It's been April 20th. Since April 20th, the PlayStation Network is still down.
Still down. That sucks. Man, that sucks.
Screwed is the first word that comes to mind. Seriously, like, I don't even know what in the world's happening. My PlayStation 3 has been unhooked for the whole time anyway, so I don't really know, like, they're offering a welcome back program where they're going to offer like some of the free music content, some media content, probably a couple games, things like that. You can read about it online. But all I know this week is that the PlayStation 3 sales are up. But I think that's because like GameStop's giving $100 off for buying a PS3 right now. It's probably because they're afraid of losing some of their stock. And then the other thing is, there are tons of PS3s being traded in right now for 360s. I went to my local game store. I've never seen a PS3 for sale in there that's used.
Mm-hmm.
They had four of them lined up next to each other tonight.
Oh, wow.
I love online gaming. I don't have that much time to do it anymore. But, like, people buy systems to play online.
Yeah, and anymore they do.
You know, you're talking about like games like Portal 2. People haven't even been able to log on and play yet. You know,
that sucks.
And so like, man, it's just, I don't know. That's a long time in today's market to be offline. It's, you know, unless they're trying to compete with the Wii. So,
no, I'm surprised it's taking this long. One of the things that I forgot to mention, when you had made a comment in episode 50 that it made you so nervous that they brought in a third party, I don't know if that necessarily equals the severity of it is what I wanted to say then, but I forgot to, just because when a third party investigator comes in, it's just to try to show some openness and clearly there's a problem and they overlooked it. So let someone else take a look just to be extra safe and cautious. But I never, ever, ever would have thought it still would have been down. One more week and it's a full month.
I know.
DC it's Online, crazy. All that stuff. I mean, that's crazy. So
it's a good time for you to go buy a PS3.
It is, and I won't. But it is a good time for anyone to go buy a PS3. That's not our deal of the week, surprisingly enough. But it is a good time to go get one. You can get some good deals on it. The network's going to come back up, and it's still a good system. But it sucks if you play a lot of online gaming.
Okay, so I started negative, but I'm moving to positive. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Tomorrow could be a huge, huge day for me. Could make my entire weekend. I say could because I don't know when it's arriving, but L.A. Noire is coming in the mail right now.
That's cool.
For me, and it's going to be here before it's released.
That's exciting, so you better have a review done, right?
Yes, I'm pretty pumped. If you don't know what L.A. Noire is, it's the latest game published by Rockstar Games. developed with a new partner of theirs, and basically you play as Cole Phelps, who's a police officer in the LAPD, and you play in LA in the mid-1940s. You kind of rise through the ranks as an officer, solving murder mysteries, and I'm just pumped. I mean, the game just looks amazing. I've been watching YouTube videos all week. I got confirmation that my copy was coming soon.
Cool.
And I just, dude, it looks cool. Are you going to get it?
No. Right.
I forgot you don't like good games.
Yeah, it's something about good games that just bothers me. No, it's you know, Rockstar makes really good games, but it's not the genre that I have enough time to get into. I'm too backlogged. I still have a goal of trying to play Mass Effect 1 and 2 this year, and I still haven't gotten to the Masters in Tiger Woods. Like, I'm just so far backlogged that, no, I can't. I couldn't handle it. And it's sandbox, right? So it would eat up a ton of time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it's actually a little bit more. I think it does definitely have that sandbox feel, but I think it's a little bit more story driven this time.
Oh, that's cool. No, like Red Dead Redemption. I would love to play that game, but I know better than to buy it. I owned Twilight Princess for 3 years before I played it.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things. It's just, I know it's a good game, so eventually I'll get to it. And if I end up finding a used copy of it years and years and years down the road, then yeah, I probably will. Or if I borrow it from you. But that's right in your wheelhouse, and I know you're a big Rockstar fan, so I can definitely understand your excitement. This was kind of like when I was waiting for Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Yeah.
Just because it was Konami, and it was like, oh my god, this is going to be so cool. So, yeah, very cool, man.
It's good stuff. So that, and then the last thing I want to talk about in the modern portion, since we have an interview this week, I'm kind of cutting it short. But the last thing I want to talk about is I have kind of a plea for our listening audience out there. And when I say plea, I mean, I'm going to ask them if anyone has this game, I would like to borrow it. if this sounds crazy, I know, but I've been looking through for some reason, I was jumping around Steam this week, seeing some of my favorite first person shooters from the past. And, there's a game that I used to rent that I never finished from, you could actually borrow PC games from one of the libraries I live next to.
Yeah.
And it's a Star Trek game. And it's a Star Trek PC game. It's one of the best Star Trek games of all time. There's actually two of them, Star Trek Elite Force 1 and Elite Force 2. And their first-person shooters for the PC came out in the year 2000. And I just want to play through them. So I looked online and I looked on Amazon, and they're really expensive for some reason. So I'm not going to shell out $40 for it, but if any of our listeners have it and they want to part with it for a while, I would love to play through it.
Fingers crossed, man. Hopefully someone will want to.
There we go. I just I had to put that out there because I don't know. I've been in a Star Trek mood lately. So
that's cool. Very cool.
That's all I got. All
right, man. Well, let's roll into before we get into the retro portion. Let's talk a little bit about the deal of the week that I found at J2Games.com.
You've been harping about it. I'm waiting to hear it.
J2Games.com, a sponsor of Classic Elite, fantastic retail website to buy lots of gaming stuff, systems, games, magazines, playthrough guides, tons and tons of stuff. Everybody hopefully is aware because they heard the interview with Aaron and with Jay from J2 Games on episode 50. But I found this week, and this one was crazy. Jay sent me a heads up that they have a lot of last generation gaming, GameCube, PS2, Xbox. So I'm looking through the Xbox. Dude, they have Shenmue 2 unopened, new sealed, or new, obviously unopened is sealed, for $10.80. After you use the promo code CLEETCL337.
Dude, that's awesome.
Look it up on Amazon. $40 unopened. It's $40 unopened. That's 75% off. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Pretty much 75% off. I assume that would qualify for the free shipping or whatever. That's nuts.
It is.
That is crazy. I'm not saying that you should buy a couple copies from J2 Games. hold on to one, open one, maybe sell one yourself on Amazon. But maybe you should, because that is $33 well spent. And unbelievable, man. What a great deal. I told you. You dig on J2 Games and you're going to find something unbelievable. So
they always seem to have that, just that special deal that really is just an amazing, amazing thing. I mean, I that time they had the Xbox 360 controllers for like $11 with our discount. I mean, that was just insane.
Yeah. So anyways, Jay, thank you very much. You have an awesome service. J2Games.com. They are a excellent sponsor of Classic Elite. Go there for all your good gaming deals. And then at checkout, just like any other website, use promo code CLEET, and you'll save 20% off your entire purchase, no matter how much stuff you put in your shopping cart. So very cool there.
Insanity. So
Tony, yeah. We've had 2 weeks off, right?
Yeah.
So I've actually gotten to play some retro games.
Well, let's hear what you got for the retro portion, my friend.
So, even though I have still been working through Tiger Woods a little bit, and I have played a couple of indie games, there was one game in particular that I played quite a bit of. And you remember a few episodes ago how I had mentioned that at a local gaming store, I got a crap load of NES and Genesis games?
Yes.
Well, I think I might have found my gem. The one game in there that I had never played before, that is okay. Amazing.
Okay.
Shinobi 3, Return of the Ninja Master for the Genesis. Have you ever played this game, dude?
I have played that game.
Oh my god. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is.
I played a little bit of the original Shinobi. I think it was MAME. Yeah, I think it was a MAME version I played. And it was... I remember thinking, you know what, this is one of those games that must have just been good back in the day and didn't age well, and the controls were kind of wonky and stuff. Not Shinobi 3, man. Shinobi 3 is really, really smooth. This, in my opinion, is one of those titles that absolutely maximized what the Genesis could do. I think most people are pretty aware of the fact that the Genesis wasn't quite as powerful as the Super Nintendo. But with this game, it's pretty darn hard to tell if that's the case. I do think that it sounds good. I think the controls are great. I just had a blast playing it overall. And for me, when a game feels that good to play, that's a really good sign when it's this old. I think it came out in like 92 or 93. And I know this is a beloved series, but I'd be surprised if the majority of people don't like this one the best out of the Genesis series. What would you guess with that?
I mean, I would say it would be. I know it's my favorite. I really enjoyed playing it. So, cool. Yeah.
And they said on Wikipedia, which you'll hear in a second with our interview, isn't always the most accurate place to look for information, but says it's a direct sequel of The Revenge of Shinobi, which is, makes pretty much sense, I guess, to me. But this is a game that you can play almost everywhere, which is really exciting. It looks like it was included on Sega Genesis Collection for the PlayStation 2 and PSP. It's on Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for the 360 and the PS3, which is really cool. And it was also on the Wii Virtual Console. I shouldn't say was, but is. But it has been since 2007, which is cool. And Steam actually put it on last year in 2010. And it is now available for the iPhone. I'm not sure. I'm sure it's also available then for the iPad, right? You can just stretch it. Is that how that works?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a great game. If you love Genesis games, you have to get Shinobi 3. It's a really, really fun game. I'm glad that I have it. So you have played it, right, Tony? What are some things you remember about it?
I just kind of had that same feeling. I remember it being, very smooth and very well put together. Graphically, it felt like it was... a little bit of a bump over the other ones. And it just felt like, yeah, the total package of a great great 2D side-scroller.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And it wouldn't be a normal retro portion here at Classic Elite if I didn't bring up Contra, right?
I mean, of course,
why wouldn't I bring up
Contra? It's getting old. We lost two of our 10 listeners last week because of
it. I know, they're tired of it. But... Xbox Live Arcade for like $2 had the arcade version of Contra. So I had to get it.
I should have bought it, man. I almost did.
It was like $2, so I had to get it, right?
Yeah.
First thing I'm going to say, it's not nostalgia. The NES is far superior. This game was made to eat quarters. It was. But it's still really, really addicting. It sounds better than the NES and visually is better than the NES. And I actually hooked up the fight sticks that we got. And, dude, when you play the arcade version with the fight stick, it's awesome. It's really, really good. It's weird looking, though, because you know how on the NES version, when you jump, you do a almost like a Metroid-esque type of flip spin? Mm-hmm. Like in Mario 3 when you have the star? This one, it looks more like someone who's jumping off a diving board and too scared to, like, tuck and curl. They, like, halfway crunch down and do, like, this elongated flip, and it just looks kind of weird and awkward. But once you get used to it, it actually is a really fun game, and you definitely should have gotten it, man. $2? Like, why not?
I know.
You know, so.
And I still got to get through Hardcore Uprising, so.
That game's tough. That game, you know how I played the demo? And I felt like the controls were broken.
Yeah.
Watching your review, I ended up playing it again, playing it more, and now I do have the full version of the game. And you are able to move a little quicker by hitting forward or hitting one of the bumper buttons, so it's not as slow as I thought. And then utilizing the double jump, I actually have gotten pretty used to. So the game actually has been a little bit more fun than I was giving it credit for. So. I'm wrong. I was wrong. It's not a bad game. It's actually a really good Contra game. So, all right, man. That was all that I had for the modern portion. That's all I had for the retro portion. And, at this point, Tony, I think that we might as well, go ahead and announce our interview and, transition into that. What do you think?
I think we should. So we decided just to continue the interviewing and just go crazy again. So we brought on another really huge guest, and here is our interview. Well, welcome back to episode 51 of Classic Leet. I am Tony once again here with my co-host Scott. And, Scott, why not follow up episode 50? We had some awesome interviews on episode 50. Why not follow up with another amazing interview? What do you say?
We had some pretty good interviews going for a while, so I'm excited to have another one for 51.
So we want to welcome Gamester 81, John, to our show for episode 51. Welcome, John. How are you?
Hey guys, what's going on, man? Congratulations on the big 5-0, and I guess the big 5-1 now, huh?
Yeah. All right.
It's a good milestone.
It really is. It seems like just yesterday we were starting off, and so it's a lot of fun to be past 50 and looking forward to the big episode 53 in a couple weeks.
Well, it's good to be on the show, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Yeah, we appreciate you being on. So, Tony, let's kick things off. Let's pick his brain a little bit.
All right. Well, Gamester 81, as you're known online, you are the co-host of the All Gen Gamers podcast and also a host of multiple very popular YouTube channels. Obviously, you've been passionate for gaming for a long time. What are some of your earliest gaming memories, and how have you carried that passion into adulthood?
Well, I think my earliest fondest memory is probably playing, like, my first system ever was the ColecoVision. And playing, I don't know if you guys ever played the ColecoVision, but playing the Smurfs game on that.
I played the Smurfs on Atari. I did not on Coleco. Yeah.
But same game. A little better graphics than the Coleco, but
yeah.
Just playing that game as a kid. I was probably like, 4 years old, playing that. And then eventually, picked up, my neighbor had a Atari 5200. And then I eventually picked up a 2600, and probably the best system I got back in the day was obviously the NES.
Yeah.
Back in 85, 86. And that was like, I was 5 or 6 years old when that came out. And that was just really great memories playing that. As far as that kind of going into like where I am today, I'm very nostalgic about gaming. I love the retro shit, I like retro stuff. So to see them do remakes, I really think that's really cool that they're doing that. Like, Donkey Kong Country, the new one, GoldenEye, Things like that. I was just playing Perfect Dark on Xbox Live, actually. Have you guys played the remake?
Yes, I have. It's really good. So
yeah, so really well done. Really well done.
It's really, Scott and I have talked about that a lot. It's exciting to be, you know, a gamer from our generation. I'm assuming we're about the same age as you based upon some of your memories. And there's just a lot of people refocusing on retro and just kind of rekindling a lot of those memories. And so it's been great building that network and meeting some of those people and, you know, just reliving some of those great moments. So, yeah, for sure.
And you know, the whole, you know, the Wii, how you can play NES games, the marketplace and stuff like that. Those are cool. You can play Genesis games, TurboGrafx. So it's really exposing the younger audience into some of these retro games, which is great to see. You know,
so. I completely agree. And it's I'm actually sometimes I'm surprised that they give it a chance. And then when they do, how excited some of the younger gamers are. We have a listener of our show who's, I think, around 14, and he has an awesome retro collection. And it's just because he's seen how much fun everyone has playing these old school games and how neat some of these gadgets are that actually came out in the 80s and 90s. So
absolutely.
Well, so actually, speaking of gadgets from then, you have a big collection of lots of cool stuff from back then. If we were to pick maybe – now, we usually do gaming, but I am interested to hear maybe a couple of your favorite Star Wars possessions and then maybe some of your favorite gaming possessions.
Yeah, so we'll start with gaming, I guess. As far as some of my favorite gaming possessions, I have a Nintendo M82. Are you guys familiar with that system? It's a display unit that can play, I believe it's 12 games, NES games. It's basically used for stores, like retail stores would have this, so you can play. It's a demo unit.
I know what you're talking about now. You've done a video on it, haven't you?
I did a review on it way back in the day.
Yeah.
They're pretty rare and hard to find. They play. The cool thing about it, though, is it plays normal NES carts.
That's cool.
Unlike the M8, which was the first version, was its own like unique ROMs that you could only play. But this is pretty unique in the sense that you can play regular NES games on it. So that's pretty cool. I have a Apple Bandai Pippin, which was released, I think, in like 95. It was a kind of adventure that Apple and Bandai actually did together. They created a console to hit the market, believe it or not.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember hearing a lot about that.
It flopped terribly. It didn't do very well. It's more like a hybrid between a computer and a console. And the controller is really cool. It's got like a roller trackball on the controller, which is really unique.
That's cool.
So I think there's a huge demand for it because there's two versions. There's the At World and the At Mark. The At Mark was a white version released in Japan. The At World was a black version. So the black version is a little bit more rare. I have that one, but since Apple is becoming more popular with iPad gaming and stuff like that, people are interested in more about the Pippin. So it's very interesting.
That's crazy how you keep all that stuff straight. I mean, I've just heard people ask you questions about all these various systems on your own show, and you always are like spot on. It's crazy.
Sometimes I have to – I do research always before my videos just to make sure. I look at multiple sites and make sure – because you can't always go off of Wikipedia because that's always can't be – accurate, you know. It's always people can put whatever on Wikipedia. So doing some research, and I'm fortunate. I live close to, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the website atari2600.com. It's a really fantastic website for retro gaming, but this guy basically works out of his house. He's a neighbor of mine, literally. So his name's Joe, and I'll go over there and pick his brain. He knows a ton about
retro. Cool.
So I need to do a video. Like his place is just phenomenal. Like he's got a whole basement with just up like base ceiling to floor of just games, boxes of games.
That's cool.
So I always get first dibs when you get some shit in, you know. But
you might have like one of the best gaming neighborhoods ever, because don't you live really close to one of your co-hosts too?
Yeah, Jason Heine. Yeah, he lives probably literally less than a quarter of a mile from me.
That's crazy. Yeah, you guys have the best retro gaming block in the country. No question.
Yeah, seriously.
It's funny because we met on YouTube and we started talking and found out he's in Phoenix, and we're like, oh, that's cool, because Phoenix is a big city. I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. And then found out he lives like literally a block from me. So
that's wow.
That's how we got started with All Gen Gamers, and it's been a wild ride since, you know. So
yeah, we've mentioned a few of his videos on our show previously. Yeah. Also, we've sent him a few messages. So Jason, what's up, man? And yeah, so Tony, what do you have next on the slate for John?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about YouTube.
Oh, we skipped Star Wars. What's
You got to do the Star Wars.
Okay, so favorite Star Wars possessions. I have a really cool Toy Fair Darth Vader, which was released in, I think, 2002, 2001. And it was only released in the New York Toy Fair.
Oh, cool.
And it's very hard to find. It's mint package, and it's got this, it's silver metallic looking Darth Vader. He's got this like lightsaber that's poking out of he's holding this lightsaber, and it's actually coming out of the package. It's really cool looking.
Oh, sweet.
So that's a pretty cool one, Toy Fair Darth Vader. I've got an original, I got a couple original packed Star Wars figures, like vintage ones from like what they call 12 back. It's the original 12 figures they released in 1978, 1977.
Nice.
For the original New Hope. And I got like a mint C-3PO in box still with this. And that's probably worth like $400 or $500.
Wow.
It's the vintage stuff is where all the money is, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I've been collecting Star Wars for much longer than I've been collecting gaming, you know, or playing games, to be honest with you.
It's funny. I feel like most of the people that are involved in gaming podcasts are always like on the side. You know, actually, my real big passion is.
Yeah.
That's right. Cool, man. So, so awesome. Sorry, guys. I almost forgot about the Star Wars stuff.
No worries.
Well, getting back to YouTube, you're very popular on YouTube. But can you tell us a little bit about your channels? I know you have multiple channels. You have an arcade channel, Rare and Retro, Nostalgiaholic, other ones. Which one is your favorite and why?
There's four channels. I'm kind of insane, I guess, when it comes to how many channels I have. But I got the main one is Game Study One. That's kind of where Rare and Retro, where I review a lot of obscure consoles and games, rare games, retro games. And then I have a Star Wars 977, which is more of my Star Wars collection, where I go over my Star Wars stuff. You review figures, talk about movies, whatever. And I got arcade, like you mentioned, Game Study One Arcade. I have a big passion for arcade gaming. I love going hitting up. I do a lot of traveling for work, so whenever I have an opportunity to go to arcades, I always do that because it's kind of a dying thing. You don't see many arcades nowadays.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So I got a huge passion for arcades. And then I have a Nostalgiaholic, which is more like reviewing just things from the 80s and 90s. It could be Nintendo Power magazines. It could be...
You've done like Saved by the Bell before, haven't you?
Yeah, Saved by the Bell.
A game or something like that?
Board game, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. That was a good one. That was funny.
My favorite of the four channels, I think, honestly, would go in this order. I'd probably go Nostalgiaholic number one because it's more sentimental to me, like nostalgic reasons, you know? And then I'd probably go with the Star Wars one, number two, because I have a big passion for Star Wars. Number three would probably be the Game Street one, the most popular one I have. And then it'd probably be the arcade, the fourth. But it's hard to put them in order, you know, so.
Like picking children for you?
Yeah, exactly. And we have a All Gen Gamers YouTube channel as well, which I guess I'm a quarter of that, you know, so that's, you know. Keep track with that too. So I post every once in a while. I post a video on there.
Well, actually, speaking of All Gen Gamers, that's a podcast that you and three other co-hosts do. So, can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to get together and actually try to do a podcast while also still doing YouTube stuff? Like, why not just stick to the YouTube? Why did you also venture into podcasting, because we've actually went the other way. We started YouTubing after podcasting, and you guys were the other way.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll start kind of how we got started with it is I've been friends with Johnny Millennium, the Happy Clunks gamer, for a while. I've met him in person a couple times, and then you know, same with Pete Dore, just through my travels. So we talk on Skype, you know, just conversationally about games and stuff, and it kind of dawned us, like, you know, we would talk for hours about games.
Yeah.
And we're just like, well, it'd be kind of cool maybe to record it and you know, put it up and see if we could do a podcast out of it. And the reason we keep YouTube and podcasting separately is because, as you guys know, podcasts, you can go for a much longer time and more detail than you can with like a video, you know? So I think it's a different audience too.
Yeah.
You know, cause like for me, when I listen to podcasts, I'll listen to like maybe an hour of it and then I'll pause, go back to it another hour, listen to whatever. Where like YouTube, I'll just watch like a 10-minute video.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just kind of, they're two different animals completely. So we just kind of decided that. And then about maybe 6-7 episodes into it, Jason, being a good friend of mine as well, like he's an audio engineer by just what he does for a profession. And he's like, would you mind if I help with some audio engineering? Will it just, you know, make it sound better? And we're like, sure. And then we had him on as a guest, and we had such good chemistry together. We decided to have him on as like full time. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good addition to have. My little brother is an audiovisual production guy. He actually started his own company and does that background, and it was really nice to lean on him to make our YouTube intro, because the first one we had was you could tell that it was just two dudes just do it together, and he actually knew what he was doing. And when Jason joined the show, it was cool. Like your audio levels were really good, and he came up with a really cool intro too. So
he does music too. Like, he's a really good musician. Like, there's this game coming out, like a download. I don't know if you guys heard or not through the podcast, but there's this game coming out for Xbox Live. It's called Conquest.
Yep.
Or something like that. And he's doing the music for that.
Which is so cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like a really phenomenal. You can go on iTunes right now and just type in like Conquest soundtrack and you can listen to samples of it. It's just amazing.
That's cool.
Detail to it. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
We definitely need to get him on the show and just put in a disclaimer like, hey guys, we're going to talk about music today. So, because it would be his studio, what he shows just in his videos is, you can tell he's got a very professional setup, which is makes me jealous. I would love to have that.
He's got like four or five iMacs hooked up, and he's got like, you know, huge professional like microphones, a radio station.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say it looks like a legit radio station with like consoles surrounding him in the background. It's awesome.
Yeah, so. For sure.
Yeah. Sure. I'm opting out of the music podcast. I told Scott already because Scott's kind of using that. So, thanks so much for answering all our questions, for being on our show. Just for our listeners out there, what's the future hold for Gamester 81? What sort of stuff will you be putting out? Do you have any like dreams or goals of, big ideas for the future?
I have, I'll just continue doing what I'm doing with the YouTube channels, continue that up. I'm actually starting a website soon. So that's going to be kind of in the works. Kind of working with a good friend of mine, one of my best friends. I'm from Seattle originally, so one of my best friends up there, he just so happens that he works for a company that does website development.
Cool.
So he's like, it's going to be a really cool, like, hopefully it'll be semi-professional looking website. So there's, it's not cheap creating a website. so just trying to, save up for that. And that's still kind of in the works. So that's kind of the future. Purchasing a new camcorder, a professional camcorder, which will be nice.
Nice.
Got Final Cut, so working on a little bit more better, editing.
Oh, cool.
That's really cool.
I'm always looking for ways. I mean, I look at my past videos, and I'm sure you guys are the same way. Like, they're just so painful to watch for me.
Yeah.
I'm so fresh and young and, like, kind of a noob when it comes to, like, doing YouTube videos. Like, my first half dozen episodes, I didn't use any editing. It was all just one take, and I would say a lot, and, just kind of,
Yeah, we feel your pain there. For the podcast? Are you guys going to do anything big for episode 50? You guys are right around the corner there, too.
Yeah, so we just recorded 42.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm at 41 right now.
Yeah, so we just finished recording 40. I think it's 42 or 43. We're all going to PAX up in Seattle.
Nice.
So that will be cool, have a kind of reunion up there. And we're kind of an unofficial... live broadcast, not really done through PAX because I don't think we're quite popular enough to have our own panel per se, but we're going to be just kind of there and say, hey, if you want to meet up with us out in front and talk about games, you're welcome to join us.
Well, hopefully you brought some ketchup chips.
That and those Smarties, the chocolate Smarties from man, it's good.
That's funny. So cool. Well, John, thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have another excellent guest on Classic Elite. And John, if people do want to get a hold of you, obviously YouTube/Gamester81 is one opportunity. But what are a few other ways that people can get a hold of you?
I am on Facebook. I have just John Gamester is my personal thing on Facebook. I have a personal one, but I try to keep that just, for my friends and family, John Gamester is the best way just to find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook fan page, just Gamester81. So if you want to send me PMs on there, Twitter, I'm on Twitter, Blip TV, I'm on iTunes. I'm everywhere. I try to get my videos out there, even on Screw Attack a little bit here and there. Uploading videos. I guess the easiest, I have a Gamester81@gmail.com is my email address. So if you guys want to just shoot me a PM message, you're welcome to do that.
Cool.
I do get a lot of personal message. It takes me, I feel bad because it takes me a while. That takes me about five or so days to get back. It's not because I'm ignoring them intentionally. It's just because I just have so much going on. And if I get like 50 messages a day, literally. So,
oh, wow.
I reply to those 50, and then like 3/4 of those people were right back. So then after, you know, so it's a snowball effect. So I try to like keep up with them. So if I don't get back to you right away, don't take it personal. I will get back to you, I promise, you know. So
if we open up our spam folder, we might get that many in a day. But seriously though, thank you very much for being on, man. We
For sure.
Really, really appreciate it, and wish you and everyone at All Gen Gamers the best going forward. You guys put out some awesome entertainment, and you yourself just kick butt on YouTube, man. We love it.
Appreciate you guys do the same, and likewise for you guys with your podcast and your channel. I wish you guys luck, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate we'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Sure. So
talk to you later, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, and we'll be back to conclude episode 51. When I wake up in the morning and the alarm gets out of warning, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. It's all right. Well, man, Scott, it was awesome. I didn't think we could top some of the interviews we had on episode 50. And I think you and I just discussed we wanted to get back into interviewing people and just really being part of the gaming community. So yep. Thanks again to John for being on the podcast. What a blast to have GameStrady One on. I know you and I both admire his material a lot. And so definitely go out there and check out his YouTube channels and his podcast. You definitely won't be disappointed. So I'd be surprised if there's any listeners of our show that aren't already aware of John. But if there are any out there, please go check out his stuff. It's impressive. And nice guy. That was a fun interview. I loved it. Yeah.
Super nice guy, man. Just the idea that he goes out and responds to everyone and all that stuff is just cool. So he definitely got back with us every time I wrote him, and it was just cool to – it's cool to know he's just a really nice guy and interested in our show.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Yeah, just the gaming community. So
good stuff. So, all right, man. Well, we have episode 50, right?
Yeah.
What do we have from episode 50?
Well, we want to end our show, episode 51, with just reading the comments that people left on our website.
Yep.
We announced a contest at the end of episode 50. If you left a comment on the site, you had an opportunity to win a downloadable game from Konami for Xbox Live Arcade or a $10 card to the PSN.
Which will eventually work.
Yeah, it's absolutely
worth it. It's worthless right now, but...
But we're going to start just reading the comments. Some of these are just kind of like congratulations on episode 50 comments, but we want to make sure to read them all on the show. So we're going to start out here. Zeb wrote in, and Zeb was someone that we interviewed from the Pure Solar team. He said, "Tony and Scott, I just heard the interview and your following comments. Thank you so much for them. I can honestly say it really warmed my heart. I'm sorry about the bad audio quality I provided. I guess I can blame that on it being my first podcast interview, so I was nervous and I couldn't sit still. Your enthusiasm for the show and gaming in general really shines through when you're talking, and I heard the whole normal section and I really enjoyed it. But Flicky is a really good game compared to Nightmare Circus, believe me. Thanks again for all, Tony and Scott. I'm really looking forward to the review of Pure Solar. Best wishes, Zeb." So there you go, Scott. He responded to your Flicky.
He did. And so there might be another game out there. So I will figure out a way to try to play Nightmare Circus. And I'll give my opinion, Zeb. And thanks for being on the show. Pure Solar looks like a really, really cool game. Tony, I can't wait for you to get through it. You promised you'd let me borrow it, so I can't wait to also play it eventually. And it's weird that I'm excited to actually eventually get a chance to play an RPG. I actually want to play it, so...
You won't last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'll be calling you all the time, so I'll be like, dude, how do I get through this? Where am I at? I'm in the village. What do I do? What do I do? Who do I talk to? So, but it does... I've seen plenty of YouTube stuff. The game looks gorgeous. And the soundtrack is good. It's really, really good. There's a lot of YouTube stuff where if you do Pure Solar OST, you can listen to a lot of the music, and it's excellent. So, very good job, guys. And I'm impressed. And I also love the Sega Genesis. So, very cool there. And, again, we have Balzac writing in. And we really appreciate it. And Balzac, he actually just won a contest that Critical Failure put on his YouTube channel, the Echelon Contest, which, darn it, I didn't win. I never win those darn things. So I'm so happy that Rob from the Retro League actually sent us like a fake winning package just to make me feel better. So anyways, Balzac writes and he says, great episode, guys. I was not expecting a long episode, but this was almost 3 hours, which was good for me because I have to sit in my school's PE area and do nothing for 2 hours every day for the next 2 weeks because the people who are not seniors have to take the finals state tests for the next 2 weeks. Also, my favorite part of the podcast was when you guys interviewed the Pure Solar map designer because it was interesting to know the background on Pure Solar. Also, I sadly will not be able to give my opinions for Knights of the Republic since he actually had to return his J2 Games package because the order got a little messed up. But they gladly took the order back, which is all good. So it looks like Jay did square everything away, which is always nice to hear. Any of our listeners, even if something would go awry, that they still have a good experience with J2 Games. And he says, anyways, great episode. And finally, I will enter on the PS3 side of the contest. Well, thanks for reading my comment. Bye, Balzac. So, Balzac, yes, you are officially entered.
So actually, he officially won. So
he officially won. Awesome.
Yeah, we had Drew before the show, and so he, Balzac, wins a $10 gift card to the PlayStation Network, which when it's back up in 2 months, I will email that to you. No, I'm just kidding. So, Balzac, just send me the email address that you want that you want your card gifted to, and we'll get it to you.
Yep, absolutely. So, congratulations. And then we have another comment.
Yeah, Gooch wrote in, our good friend Gooch from Gooch and the Douchebag Radio, and he wrote in and said, you've been saying for a while that episode 50 was going to be a really big show, but you did not say it was going to be epic. I'm not writing in to win a prize. I just want to say that episode 50 was awesome, and I can't wait to see how you guys top it in episode 100.
I don't think we can. Well, actually, we can. We do. We have Miyamoto already signed up.
What? I just want to start building the hype for episode 100. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, next year. You just wait.
I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
It's going to be amazing. So.
All right, but well, thanks, Gooch. Gooch, even though you didn't write in to win a prize, we entered everyone who left a comment, and your name was drawn, and you win Hardcore Uprising for the Xbox 360. So I hope you like Contra and hearing Scott's endless banter about Contra, because you won Hardcore Uprising. Now you can play with us online and try to beat it, because it's hard.
It is. It's a damn hard game, but it's fun. I can't believe I'm saying it, but it's... When I heard you and Vogue Nasty talk about it in terms of the Sonic game and how I really truly gave Sonic 4 Episode 1 the full opportunity that it deserved to determine if it was a game that you enjoyed or not, it made me rethink. I really should take a better look at Contra, because Sonic 4 is a game I still love. Even though the physics are a little different and they're a little off, I still like the game. So hearing you guys talk about it, along with your review, really help bring me up to speed. So, yeah, dude, you win Contra Hardcore Uprising, so let's play together, which will be cool. And then Shintai wrote in. Shintai says, I popped in a copy of Grandia 2 for the Dreamcast, and I listened to the entire episode from start to finish while playing it, and it was a damn good time. I haven't really been listening to you guys for a long time. I just found out about you guys through Jerry and listened to an episode here and there. But this one really showed that you guys kicked some bleeping butt. Sorry, Shintai. We're going to have to edit that one down a little bit, but thank you very much. And also, one thing we forgot to mention with John, he was also a guest on the Mondo Coolcast and spent about an hour or so talking with JT, and that was a really good episode. So I would highly recommend anybody that wants to hear more from Gamester 81 to go listen to he and Jerry Terrifying talk for about an hour. I have no idea what episode it is, but it can't be too hard to find. MondoCoolcast.com is the search bar. So forgot to mention that. But yeah, Jerry, what's up, dude? And John, thanks again for being on. Who do we have next? Who else wrote in?
I believe this is the first time we've heard from Vox Mystica. Is that right?
That's what I would guess.
Cool. Vox Mystica wrote in and says, thanks for the shows. I've been listening for a few episodes now. Heard about you on the Retro League and started to get back into retro games. And I also have a PS3. I loved all the interviews, and we always love to have new listeners, so thanks for listening, Vox Mystica, and guess what? You won our second PlayStation 3 giveaway. Your name was drawn, so we just send us an email, and we will gift you a $10 gift card to the PlayStation Network. So thanks for listening, and congrats on being a first-time winner with the show.
That's very cool, and thank you to the Retro League for having us on. Very, very cool. It was really exciting to be on there, and thanks for giving us some listeners. That's awesome. And then lastly, we have our good buddy Kevin over at theparanerds.com who wrote in. And Kevin says, sorry for the late response. Got to say I really enjoyed this one, guys. I mentioned before how I always wished your podcasts were longer, and this one was great. Thanks for Lay... Still looks like entertainment to me, but Leonard Taimont, I don't know. He says in quotes, that's French-Canadian for the entertainment. So I have no idea how to pronounce anything in French. So, yeah, you're very welcome for
so that Chris Farley skit on Saturday Night Live. He's like the El Nino.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
So, yes, you're very welcome for the Lay Entertainment, Kevin, and... boy, if I'm doing my math correctly, we still have something to give away, right?
Yeah, and Kevin was the last one. And so, Kevin, actually, you were randomly drawn from random.org, and you win our second Xbox 360 code, which I don't even know if you have a 360. I'm assuming you do. But it's for Battle LA, Battle Los Angeles.
Which is cool. So either if he doesn't, then Rui, I think Rui might, and if... if Rui doesn't, then, heck, give it away on Paranerds.com. Give it away on your podcast. But it's yours, and since you didn't specify, then that's the one that you get. So, Kevin, thanks for writing in, man, and glad we can send a code over your way, and thank you for everybody that left a comment on the show. Every single one of them meant a lot to us, and episode 50 was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work. It was a lot of build-up, but, Tony... it was worth it to me. What would you say? Is it pretty worth it to you?
Oh, totally, man. Totally. Just so much fun. So I remember just, yeah, put a lot of effort into that one, but just a lot of fun. And I hope everyone doesn't mind. We're just kind of taking it easy on episode 51. Just enjoying being back and kind of easing our way back in. So, yeah, it's all been good.
All right, man. Well, that wraps up everything for episode 51. We are back into numbers that are completely insignificant. Which is nice. We have no build-up for anything for quite a while. And we're just going to kind of get back into doing normal shows from here on out. Well, I guess I shouldn't say on out, but for a while now. So we will see you guys next week for episode 52, which means we're coming up on our year anniversary. But I think we're going to treat episode 50 as our one-year anniversary. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Yeah, we don't need to do anything special for the 1 year. We started in – actually, you know what? Today, as we're recording this, we'll have to go do some digging, but today, coincidentally, may actually be the 1 year anniversary. It was sometime around mid-May. It's Friday the 13th right now. It's a little eerie. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool, though.
I have no idea.
I don't either. It was sometime in May. But anyways.
So it was drowned with malted hops and bong resin, so.
You can't drop the same joke twice in the same series, man.
I didn't.
You've dropped the bong resin one because it shocked me.
What?
It shocked me because I knew it.
No.
Yes. Yeah. We'll go back. I'll hunt it down.
Episode and leave me alone.
That sounds good. All right, everybody. We will see you next week for episode 52. Thanks for listening.